Well, man, so I was reading this article. You know John Taffer from Bar Rescue?
Yeah, man. What about him?
Well, apparently he's suing this guy because this guy is going around impersonating John Taffer and showing up to places and pretending to be John Taffer. And apparently this guy, not John Taffer himself, but the guy that's impersonating him, is like been attempting like sexual assaults and stuff and like really trying to treat women bad. Yeah.
Really, really. So, okay, because at first I'm sitting here going, John Taffer is going to sue this guy for being an impersonator. There's plenty of impersonators out there, right? Like, there's Trump impersonators. There's all sorts of impersonators out there. And, you know, but, okay, that makes a lot more sense. But continue.
Well, I was saying, well, these ladies and these women and these lawyers have been calling up John Taffer's office and being like, hey, that's you, we're suing you. And John Taffer is like, dude, what are you talking about? I was literally filming in San Diego. There's no way I could have been in Miami. And so apparently, I don't know if this guy's just strictly in Florida, but he's been going around. And so they found out this, and now John Taffer is suing this guy. And I look at the pictures, and the guy, like himself, looks kind of like John Taffer, but like once he like puts on all the, you know, the suit and like all the garb and everything, he does look like John Taffer. And so I'm like, that's probably not a good look.
Yeah, that's probably pretty bad for the brand. How much did it say how much he's suing him for?
No, it just said that he was suing him.
Hopefully that stops, because that must be pretty bad. I would hate for that to happen.
Yep, exactly. Well, hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast.
Well, Chris, it's another episode. And here we are, the Donut Box Podcast. How are you doing this week, man?
Oh, it's great. It's like what they say in the song. It's just another manic Monday. I think that's how it goes. But yeah, it's another Monday, another great time.
Yeah, man, another week, another fun time. But man, it's been pretty crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm pretty darn tired. It's been a grind, especially like work-wise and some of the other projects we got going on. I don't know, man. It's been a lot, but I'm excited for this episode. We're going to have a good time.
I was watching a video, and it was like those rise and grind bros. Do you know those kind of people?
Rise and grind.
And it was just making fun of them. They're like, yeah, I wake up at 4:30 every day to hit the gym. And it's like, if you woke up at 5 o'clock, I woke up at 3:30. If you woke up at 3:30, I woke up at 1:00. It's like, and if you woke up at 1:00, it's like, I didn't even go to sleep yet, dude. And it's like, those dudes be for real. And I know several of them, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. What funny is, they actually spend so much time projecting that attitude to where they actually waste more time than be productive, because they're trying so hard of like trying to keep that image up, because that's all it is.
Are they also the bros that are like, yeah, I was listening to this podcast, or yeah, I was doing this? And it's like, they're the ones to talk about leadership and about grinding, but when it really comes down to it, it's like you're doing more talking than actually doing stuff.
When it comes down to it, they're the biggest proponents of unwarranted advice. I feel like those are the people that come up to you and give you very unwarranted advice, like advice you don't even ask for at all. And they're like, you know what you need to do? You know what you need to do, man? You don't even need to do this. You need to go to the gym, bro. You need to get, you know what? You're looking a little flabby. You're looking a little flabby, and they don't know anything about you. That's what I think is funny.
Yeah, interesting enough. Well, this episode is going to be a little bit of a different episode. We're going to try it out. It's going to be a free-flowing episode, free-forming. So we're just going to keep the ball rolling and keep recording, and whatever happens, happens. And I apologize in advance for anything I say or may not say. There you go. There's your discretion warning. But I was watching Cops, and you know how I love to watch Cops. I think I've seen almost every episode.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. For those of you who don't know, and I'll just break this out. This man has probably seen every episode. Like, I'm not talking about just new Cops. I'm talking about every phase of Cops that there was. For those of you who don't know, would you call them phases, or what would you call them?
About my Cops phase, about wanting to be a police officer?
No. Like, like Cops over time, like the TV show. Like, I feel like there was phases of the show. Like, it was, there was different timings of it. I feel like it left and then kind of came back over time.
Yeah, there was definitely like the early 2000s version of it, and then they recently kind of updated it to be a little bit more modern. Of course, there's different variations of the show Cops, like Live PD and stuff, but I feel like it kind of took a break maybe like 2008 to maybe 2016, and now has just kind of made a resurgence, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. But what were you saying about watching Cops?
So, anyways, and for those of y'all that don't know, I used to want to be a police officer, and I actually did a police internship program called the Explorers, which we may or may not get into this episode, if not this episode, a different day. But I watch it, and like watching it now, I have like clear eyes when I'm like, oh yeah, they're definitely just looking for something to get on the TV show. Cause this cop, she was driving and she saw this guy who was clearly intoxicated. He wasn't driving, but he was walking down the street, right? So he was just literally walking and he was kind of stumbling, and she stops him and is questioning him and is like, oh yeah, you're intoxicated and all that stuff. And he's like, yeah, I'm just like trying to make it home and go home. And she's like, well, did you lose your license? And he was like, yeah, I lost my license to DUI, and so I just walk everywhere now. And she was like, you're clearly not safe to be on these streets. And she was like, and unfortunately I can't give you a ride home. I can only give you a ride home if you were sober. And I'm like, okay, well, what help are you? And then she was like, yeah, we're going to throw you in the tank and you're going to let you sober up and then you can go home. And so like they put him in handcuffs and they like put him in the back of the police car and they take him to the jail. I don't know if they actually charged him or arrested him, but they take him to the jail so that he can sober up. And I'm like, why could you not take this guy home and let him sober up at home? He clearly wasn't driving. He wasn't endangering anyone except maybe himself. And he wasn't on a busy highway, so I don't understand why you were harassing.
Well, and what's crazy to me is whenever they say, oh, we're going to take you to the tank to sober you up, that's what they mean. Like, they take you to jail to sober up. Like, that's what the tank is. There is no, like, you know, sobering up place. You sober up in a holding cell, pretty much, you know. So, I've never understood that either. You know, I've actually had a great uncle who went through something like that, too. Like, in real life, I guess Cops is real life, too, but like, I mean, this happened not on Cops, but he actually was drinking and did somewhat of the right thing, was driving and realized, you know what, I'm too intoxicated to drive. So he pulls over on the side of the road, and similarly, a cop like rolls up on him and wakes him up and says, you can't be on the side of the road. And so he, for some reason, my great uncle wants to grab like his bag for some reason, and the cop freaks out, and this was back in the baton days, so he takes out his baton and hits him over the head with it, and apparently that just pissed him off, and so he beat up the cop, and there was a whole story beyond that. But same thing with that. Like, I don't understand. So I understand being on the side of the road is dangerous, like that sort of thing, but in this sort of case, walking down the, like, he wasn't like hurting anybody or like, you know, like elbowing somebody in the head.
Yeah, and the thing is, she just kept saying, like, oh, you have a drinking problem, and you probably need to get some help for your drinking problem. And it's like, homie is, like, it's his choice to drink. Like, yeah, maybe homie does have a drinking problem.
Well, at least he did the right thing.
His license got taken, but,
yeah,
but it's,
well,
not like
that's
he was
the thing.
Driving
at least
on
he
the
did
road.
The right thing. He,
yeah,
got his license revoked. He goes, okay, well, if I'm going to go drinking, I'm going to walk home from here on in. So he walks everywhere. Okay, well, that's what sidewalks are for, right? You know, and the thing is, as long as he's not bothering anybody, it'd have been different if they got a call and it's like, there's a drunk guy harassing people or something, right? But they didn't. Yeah, I've watched some Cops episodes like that, too. There was a similar one. This was in New Mexico. I don't know why. Have you noticed on their New Mexico Cops? Like, I'm not trying to call them out, but on Cops, they're extra profiling and trying to,
well, that's because there's so many gangs there. In their defense, there's so many gangs in New Mexico, so they gotta kind of be like on edge, I feel.
Well,
like,
there was this dude who was just working on his car, right? And they roll up on him and they're like, what are you doing? He tells them he's working on his car, And I mean, they were like seriously questioning him. And the only reason that they got anything, it wasn't even him. Like, somebody was walking down the street. They start questioning the guy on the street, and the guy takes off running. And that's the only reason that they got any footage. So basically they were just going down the road, just kind of pointing their finger in people's face, see how they reacted until somebody ran.
Yeah, I don't like that, man. I don't like, and you can definitely tell whenever they're just trying to show off for the cops cameras, bro. I don't like that. I don't like it at all, man. I just feel like it's messed up. And I've always wondered, like, is it a deal in the video, like in with the TV show, that the footage they get can or cannot be used as evidence? You know, because it's on film, so.
I mean, I would imagine it is. It's on film.
But my question is like, if it's not in the cops' favor. So if they're like, if the video evidence actually shows that the cops were badgering someone or treating them unfairly, because I've seen some ones where they like full on like punching people when even when they got them down, and it's like they tried to cut it out, but you catch those glimpses of them. It's like,
yeah, you can catch it.
Are they going to submit that evidence, or are they like, oh, no, we can't submit it? Is it like a pick and choose or what?
You know, I figure that that's probably where the defense attorney comes into play, right? I don't know. You know, everybody wants to rag on public defenders. I really don't know how good or bad public defenders. I'm sure based on area. But, you know, I would imagine a defense attorney would say, okay, they were on cops. Let's see what the event was on cops. Because, I mean, if we're being honest, most of the time you can go to that production company and get that a lot easier than you can get from the police department. Because I don't think the police department has control of, like, the footage from cops. I think that's, like, more the TV company.
I wanted to share about the cops thing that I just saw. I literally just saw it, so that's why it was fresh on the dome.
Huh, bad boys. Yeah.
Yeah, We've talked about the cops videos that we've made. Again, we were ahead of our time. We made the cops spoof videos. I watched those recently, and I was like, man, this was hilarious.
Yeah, you know, shout out to Chris on the editing work back then. For 13 years ago, that was pretty good. You know, that was the cream of the crop on Final Cut Pro. There, I mean,
did we just film it on a cell phone? Is that what we filmed?
No, man. If you remember, I think it was that blue camcorder you had, like the one that we bought when we were doing Carlton's documentary.
Yeah, the little one that I bought for $100. Yeah, it was actually a pretty good camera.
Yeah, I think it was that one that we used for it. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about this on the show too, but we might as well go into it now that I've said something about it. We were gonna film a documentary one summer about this production company. So it was we've talked about this here recently. Would you describe it Tyler Perry-esque for the time, or what would you describe this production company like?
Yeah, it definitely was Tyler Perry-esque. He was trying to do a lot of what Tyler Perry was doing, with not like the whole Madea thing, but with like the plays and writing the good stories and the TV shows. And I was in a couple of his plays, and I was in a couple of his TV shows. So
the nerdy token white boy was Chris's role in every.
Yeah, did we
them.
Ever did we share about that story about the play and how I got casted and all that? I think we did. I think we actually did.
Well, you know what? Screw it. We're talking about random stuff. If we didn't, let's go into it. So this guy Carlton had this production company. And like Chris said, he was a part of a lot of these things. And one of the productions was about high school. And Chris was casted as the nerd who snaps
towards
the end.
Slash
token white boy. And I think his best moment. So Chris loves to improv, right? And, you know, I was doing some tech things for this play, so I had been to a few practices and some line run-throughs, things like that. I think I even helped you run lines at one point, because you didn't have many, but, you know, you want to make sure that it was good. So we worked on it a little bit, and there was one scene in particular to where this man, it was a dance scene. And it was supposed to be like, and I don't know, man. It made everybody cackle so hard because Chris hops out there. You got to think, everybody else is African American, right? and they all got rhythm. So they all get out there and they dancing like they supposed to, right? And they have good moves and everything. And here comes Chris, and he wasn't really supposed to do much, but he gets out there and he starts white boy dancing. You know what I'm talking about? And oh my God, I think there was all these ladies in the front row and they just died laughing. Well, later on in that play, Chris's character snaps because, of course, he's the token white boy. And so he has a mental breakdown and a gun comes out. And, you know, he kind of points it at everybody. Then he points it at himself and they kind of talk him down from it. Well, the ladies in the front row, I guess, still couldn't get over Chris's dance moves or something. I don't know.
They thought I was playing. I was about to shoot some people and they thought I was playing.
And they were cackling so hard. I never forget that. And that was only one time, though. It was interesting because there was multiple dates for that play. Of course, you have, you know, a couple of times that you go through it with a few crowds. And the other crowds were serious. But, like, I just remember that one. All them ladies were laughing at you so hard. And it was a super serious scene. And here's poor Chris pouring his heart and soul out there, pointing a fake gun at his head. And here's these ladies just cackling. I mean, and they were laughing, too.
Yeah, I was about to my character was about to shoot himself and these ladies were cackling. But yes, I did. I don't know what it was about me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this comedic. I'm going to make it because it was almost like a high school musical. The whole number was the one of the main characters. He was trying to sing this song to woo this girl and everybody was in on it. And my part was I was just supposed to be a spectator and just passing through. And the song was horrible. The number was horrible. The choreographing was horrible, but I was like, man, I gotta save this somehow. I was like, I gotta save it. And I was like, if I make it comedic and they think that it's supposed to be funny, my part's funny, then it'll help the show. And I guess it did. 'Cause I got laughs all three shows. So
yes, you did. Yes, you did. And, yeah, that was a very interesting time. But
do you think that in retrospect, do you think they were laughing at me or laughing with me? I mean, I figured they were probably laughing at me, but that's okay.
Well, I think it's a mix. I think some people were laughing at you, but then there were some people who knew that it was just a character
they were
and
laughing
part,
at me.
You know, and so they were laughing at the character, not necessarily you. But then there were some people that were just like, like, let's face it, there are just going to be some people like, ah, it's a goofy white boy, and they're going to laugh at you.
It's okay. As long as I got laughs, that's all I cared about.
Yeah, I think it was a decent mix. But yeah, so we had that show. We had a few other shows, too, a few other, like, plays that we were a part of. Another thing that happened, man, that we got to talk about was we went on this local Christian TV station and with Carlton for the production company, and we had talked about them in the past as well. These were the people that traveled across the country, like put a cross on their back and traveled across the country and did like evangelism across the country. Then they settled over in Georgia and started a TV station. And so we were there, and so it's a husband and a wife. I'm going to let you talk about, like, just briefly talk about Dorothy and Russell, just to remind the listeners.
Oh, yeah. They fought on the air every night. I don't know, like, they had no structure to their show. It was two simpletons running a TV show. That's the way I'll put it.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
just like, what is going on with these people?
So the intentions were good. Like, they had, you know, the typical TV, the Christian TV station, right, where they call this number for a prayer line, but they were largely based on volunteers. I remember having to volunteer. So pretty much if you show up and you're not doing something, like you're not going to be on the air or you're not going to be talking with Dorothy and Russell on television, they're going to put you to work. Like, they're going to be like, hey, can you answer phones? Can you do – I even heard somebody, they were like, hey, can you run camera one night because they were short a camera guy. Like, it's one of those type things. But anyways, we went and we were filming because Carlton at the time had gotten a connection with a local TV station And he wanted, they were, I think they had said, oh yeah, we're going to put a spot. It was like, what, 1 or 2 a.m. or something like that. And it was like, put together a little thing. And I'm thinking back at this, right? Like, from the retrospect of being an adult, of what the ask was, we were so off the mark of what we thought the ask was. Like, think about this. A 1 or 2 a.m. spot for a production company, largely African-American production company, right? For plays and dramas, like Tyler Perry-esque. Anyways, we film at Dorothy and Russell's TV show. The best part about this is we caught some absolute gold at Dorothy and Russell's spot. Christopher, what did we catch on film, which I still wish we had the film of?
Russell unintentionally was racist, and I don't remember where it came up, but Carlton was comparing himself to the Amish in some way, shape, or form, and Russell was like, oh, well, in your case, it would be Hood Amish, and we were just like, ooh, like, okay, why? Because he's black? And we were just like, ooh. And Carlton was mad, and he said something under his breath, and we were just like, ooh.
This and he good. Said that he didn't, but we had it on film. That's, again, why I wish we had the film. But going back to what I was saying before, all that to say this, we were so far off the ask. We had filmed things like, okay, he has been on a TV show. You know, we had filmed some different things for the play. But what the main bit of, like, narration that we were going to do, Chris, I think I was in the 8th grade. You were going into the 9th grade that summer. Was that?
Yeah.
Did you say that's about
I was in
accurate?
10th grade or something.
So we go up to the church and we say, okay, we're going to film this thing. And this church had a big warehouse with, and there was a desk and chair. And so I remember I wore a suit, and it was really hot too. And I wore a suit, and we went up against the just the plain metal background, right? It was just the metal, like, corrugated metal wall behind us. And I just remember, like, standing up and then, like, sitting on the desk and trying to do this, like, documentary-esque look. I don't even remember what I said. But could you imagine? I don't even remember how it looked, but I can only imagine, like, thinking back, that probably looked terrible. Like, think about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did not turn out good. And something happened, and I didn't end up using the footage, or something happened, and I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that we didn't let that footage see the light of day unintentionally, but yeah. Then there's some other, like, footage that's out there of other videos that it's like, man, I wish that wasn't still out there.
You know what we haven't told them about? We haven't, and I wish that I could find this footage, but my senior project, I was in film class, and looking back on it, I wish I would have taken more film classes, but I was in, technically the class was the morning news. So, like, they, of course, most, I don't know if they still do this, but most high schools have a morning news show. And I went to a fine arts school, where, you know, that was, like, one of the things was production, film production. And so, it used to be really good. Like, the morning show and the morning announcements used to be really good, like, when I went there, but it had fallen off so badly. And the way it worked is, if you had that as your homeroom, you would produce the show, and different people would do all that stuff, be on the show, and then the first period, the first hour of school, you would be in the class. And what the class was supposed to be you working on the show so that it could get good. But come to find out that the film director, all he cared about really was entering and winning the most videos or shorts for film festival in the state. And so all of his classes, it didn't matter if it was script writing, it didn't matter if it was just AV 101, everybody had to do submissions, right? So that class was not what it was purposed for. And so I was actually the producer of the morning show, and I didn't know what I was doing. I think he just put me in charge because I was a senior, and I was the only one who had some kind of leadership abilities. But our project was to do, I guess it was more like a documentary-style type project, And so I decided that I was going to do my documentary style project on this friend that we had. What should we call him? I think I'm going to call him Jimmy. That's what I'm going to call him, because that's the nickname of
Okay, Jimmy,
his
that's
full
fine.
name. But I'm going to call him Jimmy. And so Jimmy was a police officer at the time, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this profile on Jimmy, right? So I go to the house, I get the interview, all that good stuff, right? I had some really good interview footage, like of him. I got interview footage of his wife. I got interview footage of his sons. Like, it was great. But there's a term in the industry called B-roll. So you don't want just one shot of a person talking the whole time. You want to like switch it up between like action shots, like as they're talking and stuff. So I didn't have enough action shots. And me and Micah are always like wanting to do the cinematic. We want to, we have these big productions in our mind. And so I was like, man, you know what would really spice this thing up? If we had a car chase in this mug. Now, I knew that my friend Jimmy was not going to agree to stage a fake car chase. I knew he wasn't going to do that. So I took it upon myself and incorporated the help of Micah for us to stage this fake police car chase. So, do you want to tell them about the fake police car chase that we put in my film festival video?
First off, Chris had, and you've probably heard, or if you've seen the cops videos that we're referring to, Chris had a white Buick, and it looked like a cop car. Like, I mean, I don't know. Even when you were driving on the highway, people would even kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It looked like a 90s cop car, just the way it was shaped.
Yeah, so like they used to have the old Ford Crown Victorias. They don't have those anymore. Most places don't. They've upgraded to Chargers or Tauruses or
Well,
whatever.
even now they're like SUVs most places.
SUVs, yeah, in Texas for sure. But in the early 2000s, of course, they still had the Ford Crown Victorias, and that's what most of the police departments still used. Even at that time when I filmed this, because this was like 2012, yeah, 2012, 2013. And so I was like, okay, like we can get the feel of this cop car deal. We'll film it in my car and we'll have, and Micah's truck, it looked like a beat up old truck that people would get in a car chase with.
Yeah, because if you've ever seen car chase footage, for whatever reason, it's never like an overly nice vehicle, right? It's always kind of a half beat thing. And sometimes you're even sitting here thinking, why did you try to get into a chase with this thing? This thing is terrible. But, anyways, it was an Isuzu pickup truck that I paid $650 for. And I remember the plan was there was an elementary school, and kind of the way that the street in front of my neighborhood went, there was a hill, and at the top of the hill was the elementary school. And then you come down the hill, and like you take a left turn, and it's into my neighborhood. So, what we did, we said we're going to go up to the top of the hill. And something else about this truck was very, very bad. Chris will tell you it probably couldn't go over 60. Like 60 miles an hour. It was just really, really bad, and it was very slow. So, of course, doing a high-speed pursuit in a very slow vehicle is not great. Also, we tried to stay within the means of the law as much as possible. So, what we figured is we'll go up to the elementary school, we'll ride downhill, right? We'll use all that momentum. It'll look like we're going fast. It'll also be at night. Then I'll whip into my neighborhood, and we made sure because you could see all the way down the road if the road was clear enough for us to do all of this. So we made sure the road was clear. We said go. We started filming and we rolled down the hill and went into the neighborhood. And right when you get in the neighborhood, there's a big grassy patch with a curb. And I said, okay, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to let it ride a little quicker and I'm going to hit that curb. And the best part about that truck, the suspension was all messed up too. So the moment I hit that curb, it really looked like I slammed into the curb. But what was the beauty of that whole scene? We weren't going that fast, but what did it, Chris?
Okay, so again, like you said, we had to time this to make sure no cars were coming, because also too, we had to make sure that we could turn on to take a right out of the elementary school and that we weren't going to get caught in traffic, right? And also take a left into the neighborhood. So we had, I think we had to do it a couple of times. So I was the driver in my car, and then our friend Taylor, he was the camera holder, but he was also pretending to be Jimmy, but the voices didn't match up. And I'm sure that they could tell that on the video, which is probably why it didn't get any higher than the county level. So we go, and as soon as Micah hits the truck into the suspension, the person that's supposed to be playing Jimmy is like, suspect has crashed his vehicle. Suspect has crashed his vehicle. So my car had a column shift, and so that's kind of the thing in cops videos where they put the brakes and put it into park real quick. And so I put it in a park
and whipped themselves out of the door real fast too. They open the door and they're already half out the door by the time they're putting that column shift into park.
Exactly. And so then we were like, as soon as I opened the door, Micah, I was like, you're going to take off, right? So it's night, so you can't really see where he's taking off into. He just goes out of view of the camera. And so we had to do this a couple times, but he bolts out, and then that's where it cuts. And then it goes, that was the opening sequence of my film thing. And so what I did was I took the footage and I sped it up to make it look like we were going faster than what we really were. And then I also put a blue tint to it and put police sound effects in it. So it made it look like we had the lights going on. And
it was good.
It was good.
No, it was good.
It was some good editing. It really was. But I think the adults could tell that it was not real. And what I should have done, looking back, I should have put, this is a dramatization of events that took place in April. Due to court cases, we cannot show the actual footage, right?
Yeah, some BS or something.
Some disclaimer at the beginning of it. And so then I go into, this is what about being a police officer is, all that good stuff. And looking back on it, man, I could have put more work into it, because watching it, and I was like, yeah, bro, this doesn't, this has no, continuity with it at all. So I was like, ooh, I get to make a documentary and I get a cool camera and I get to take equipment home. I was like, let's go.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also high school, and you also had a limited time to do it, right?
So, and I was also checked out at that point, because I was a senior, and I was just I was checked out. And this was probably in, I want to say, March of that year. And so I think I had already gotten accepted into Texas Tech. And I was just like, yeah, bro, peace out.
Oh, something else too. Speaking of, because a lot of kids went on spring break. I was talking to some people out here in Texas. They couldn't believe it. Out where we lived in Georgia, spring break wasn't until mid-April. First, second week in April.
Yeah, because of the Masters golf tournament.
But
that's
just
why.
Think about that, though. That's insane, because we would – I just remember, and thinking about it now, having spring break, and then, the week we came back, it was always standardized testing, the week we came back from spring break.
Oh, yeah. And then after standardized testing, you don't get anything done for the rest of the year. And so you're pretty much done. So yeah, so it was really quick, because I remember spring break when I got to be a junior, spring break, and then the week after spring break was prom, and it was bro, holy guacamole. And then it was oh yeah, it's time to be out for the summer. I couldn't imagine doing it now, because these poor kids, I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but these poor kids in Texas, man, they have star tests and standardized testing out the wazoo. They're always taking some kind of standardized test throughout the year. And it's a lot. It's a lot. But yeah.
I mean, we did too, man, if you think about it. I know there was one year that I took three in one year. It was there was the tax test, there was another test, and then I remember having to take the pre-SAT, the PSAT or whatever. They administered it in school. So it was three standardized tests in a row. It was just miserable.
Oh, yeah, they're always taking some kind of, they call them MAP tests, which is, I think it's prep for the STAR test, but they're taking those, once every 3 weeks or once every 6 weeks. They're always taking some kind of standardized test. It's not like a, oh, we learned this in school in our class. It's like a countywide standardized or some kind of benchmark. I guess it's a benchmark test. I don't know, bro. I used to hate when they started incorporating those.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much. Standardized testing, period, I'm not a big fan of. You know, that's the least thing that a kid wants to do. I don't care who they are. It's such a corporate cold process. Like, do you remember how standardized testing, like, it's such a miserable experience. The only good part about standardized testing is if you get done early, you get to sleep, potentially, if your teacher's cool. Like, that was the only thing that was cool about it, or you get to draw or have some free time after it's done. Like, I don't remember anything being good. I used to hate standardized testing, everything about it.
Oh yeah, and again, like I said, it's gotten worse now, and I feel bad for the kids because the kids are like under so much pressure. Like we were kind of for like to pass our CRCTs, but now, dude, like I'm telling you, like they get super anxious, and it's not just 1 week; it's like multiple weeks of testing, and in some school districts, like the teachers get a bonus if a lot of their kids pass, or a certain number of their kids pass, so then it's financial stress on the teachers. So the teacher's like, man, I gotta get these kids to pass. Like, it's just horrible.
Oh yeah, there's a whole thing. So my wife is in education, and there's a whole thing about that. It's, you know, it's all about the good test scores are rewarded, the bad test scores are not rewarded, budgetary wise. That's why it's like the good school districts are the good school districts, and they stay that way. And the bad school districts stay the bad school districts is because they don't get any money because their test scores are so low. And it's like it's a bad cycle. It's a bad system.
To not to like be boring, but and I'll change the subject here in a little bit, but I don't know if you when you voted or if you voted in the midterms in March or whatever, but one of the things was I don't know if it was you had to vote, but here in our city we had to vote whether you wanted the option for parents would be able to choose what school their kid could go to
Yeah,
regardless
I
of
saw that.
zoning. And then it was like regardless of zoning and the funding will follow my kid. And it was like well that sucks for the kids that are in the bad schools because it's like they don't get no funding either, so
No, that's what makes it worse. That's what makes it worse. It's things like that. Again, if you know, it's already happening, right? It's there, it's that's a whole we could do a whole episode just on that on how broken our education system is, but it's pretty bad on that front. On more funny note, do you remember the time that I led a walkout on we didn't go to the same school, but do you remember me telling you about getting in trouble because I led a walkout against the CRCT and led a picket line and wouldn't go within 100 feet of the school, even though it was within 100 feet when I was picketing. And yeah, that didn't last long. They just carried us inside. But I got like two or three kids to follow along with us.
what were you like, seven?
No, I was, let's see, fourth grade the second time around. Reason I didn't want to do it is because I found out because, okay, I went to fourth grade two times. Yes, I failed the fourth grade. And the first time I went around, we were told the standardized test that we took. At the time, it was the CRCT. I used to be able to remember what it stood for because they beat it into our heads. It's like the course curriculum.
The critical reading competency
Was it
test.
reading? Critical reading and competency. Yeah, okay. Anyways, so we had that. And I remember certain years, it was like if you passed reading and math, then that was what made you go to the next grade. But if you failed it, you know, you failed the grade. Like you could have passing grades, but if you failed the CRCT, then you'd have to stay a grade. And I remember that was third and fifth grade, so fourth didn't count. So I'm sitting here going, why in the heck are we taking this test if it doesn't count? So I convinced a bunch of other kids, like, hey, it doesn't actually count. We might as well just walk out of this thing. And I don't know. I remember seeing something on TV about like leading a walkout against a test. And so I just remember it was like school was about to start and we were all in the very, very front. And, you know, bell rings, it's time to go inside. And we went right out the front door, me and three other people, and we had made signs with printer paper and rulers, and it said something like no test, or I think mine had like a test with like a big like circle with a cross through it. And we like stood outside and we're like, we're not going to take the test. And they just like brought us inside and made us take the test. In fact, they like brought us into a separate room, like the three of us, and had extra supervision on us.
That's hilarious. Maybe you watched that Boy Meets World episode when Sean and Corey walked out on the test, because that sounds vaguely familiar, because that was one of the episodes where Mr. Turner promised them that if they read the book and they had a discussion in class about it, that they wouldn't have to take the test. But then Mr. Feeney made Mr. Turner give them the test anyways. So Corey and Sean, and they got the whole grade to not try to take the test. So that was a little bit different.
Yeah, I wasn't as successful as that. That would have been great if I had the whole fourth grade out front with me, but no, that didn't work like that. Just a few.
Yeah. You got in trouble for a few things at school. Some of them we can't say because they are not appropriate. Telling a kid to do something themselves.
Well, listen, he called me something, and so, you know what, the Michael Jackson trial was going on, so I made a Michael Jackson reference on his behalf.
Hey, man, it happens, bro. It happens for real. Yeah, tests are crazy.
We had a lot of that.
I know what I was going to say. I know you had to do this too. Since I went to a fine arts school, we would get to choose advanced placement classes, and the benefit was that since we didn't have sports, we got funding for the school to pay for our AP tests that we took. And I know at your school, you had to pay for any AP tests that you took, right?
Yep, and it was like $200 a pop. So 1 year I was in three AP classes, so it would have been... It was like $600 to take all the AP tests.
Yeah, and the reason why you want to take the AP test is that's the only way that you can get college credit for the course that you took. So you can basically get like dual credit, right? You can knock out some of your basics early, but in order to do that, you have to take the advanced placement test, right? And so there was, I don't remember, it wasn't in my class, but I think it was an AP English test. And one of these guys that we knew, he absolutely refused to take the test. And I just remember, like, the assistant principal and, like, everybody.
Oh, you're talking about old Commie J?
Yeah, Commie J, that's what we'll call him, with his communist manifest. It was at that point that he started getting really weird with his communist ideals.
Bro, and then he stopped showering and everything.
It was bad. But anyways, so, yeah, I remember the assistant principal, like, literally escorted him out of the room, and bro, I think she was really upset, and like understandably so, because of like the school is paying the money for you to take the test, and you're just like, nah, like I'm not taking this test. And it's like, bro, you were the one that chose to be in the class, like I don't know what you like, what I think he wanted credit for the class without taking the test, which would line up with his communist ideals.
Yeah, he got like, it wasn't just like commie ideals, he got like pretentious ideals, like people owe me stuff for free kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't know what his deal was, because he wasn't that popular of a kid, he wasn't that good looking of a kid, and I don't know where he got that entitlement from. But this was also the same kid that when we were in the Six Flags line, he tried to brag about how many girlfriends he had, and every time we got like further up in the line or we got on a different ride, it was like Uncle John's fishing story. It got more and more. It was like, at first it started was like, yeah, I've had two girlfriends at one time. And then as the day got on, it got up to, oh yeah, I've had eight girlfriends at one time. And we were just like, okay.
I was like, and then did I mention Allison? So I guess it's actually nine. Yeah, nine actually.
And the problem was, is like, we weren't like elementary school kids. We were like juniors. No, seniors.
We were like juniors, seniors in high school here. Like, we could see right through this crap. Like, in fact, that was a running joke for a while. It's like, no, I've had like 7 Z's and 8 C's. You know what? Actually, 9. I had 9.
And I don't know what the problem was, because I'm like, why are you trying to impress me and Micah? We're not the people that you should be trying to impress. Like we don't care. Like, I don't know why you're trying so hard to impress us. I was going to say, maybe he felt honored that he got invited to be part of our third jester. I guess so. I don't know.
Inner circle? I don't know. Here's the thing, though. What people didn't understand was, yeah, you might be on the Six Flags trip with us, and yes, we may be like, hey, you want to... But the thing is, that's just because we're in a group, and you're semi-cool, and we know that you probably don't have anybody else to hang out with, so... You need to roll with somebody.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about him, but he was like, yeah, trying to impress us. And then he just got really weird, like really, really weird. I don't know what his problem was, though.
I blame his home life. I don't know what's going on. Oh, you know what? We need to finish off this episode with his last story. So this same guy, Okami J, well, he had a, how do we put this? Anyways, he had a family member who was a stepdad that was very close to him. Not really close. But he had a particular problem in his life. He enjoyed the liquor a little bit too much. In fact, every time you'd see him, he would smell a little bit. And that was, you know, great. Smelling like Jack all the time. Anyways, so Chris and I had our days of, in the middle of the night, we would prank call places, especially ones we would see on TV commercial-wise, right? Infomercials, whatever, right? We would just screw with people. Well, one night, there was one for a rehab center. So I start dialing the rehab center. And you got to think, Chris, like, how was it back then? Because I remember I wouldn't even tell you what's going on sometimes. I'd just start dialing the number and just start going with this character. Like, there was a few times it was Mike from Houston. This time in particular for this guy, for old Kami J's stepdad, we called, and I remember we were a pastor from somewhere, and we were trying to get a congregation member who's just been too much on the drink up there to Michigan, because it was in Michigan. It's like, up there in Michigan from Georgia, we're looking to make the trip, and brother, we're just looking for a price point. And they're like, well, is he... of his own volition, like, does he want to come up here on his own? It's like, nope, but we'll drag him kicking and screaming. His wife and kids and the Lord needs him to change. I remember we just went on and on, bro. And then I think the worst part about it is I even led a prayer at the end with the guy. You remember?
Oh, yeah. The first red flag those people should have known is, like, no pastor is going to be calling you at 1 or 2 in the morning about their congregation member. Like, they had to know we were not being legit. But, I mean, there is a happy ending. The guy did get cleaned up towards the end of his life. He did end up passing away. But he did, I think, quit drinking, and he did kind of get his act.
That is good. That is good. Now, it was mainly we used to prank call. And, you know, whether he knew or not that guy on the other end, I don't know. But they always played along. That's the thing. There was never a prank call that I remember people actually calling us out on.
Yeah, but also, too, you have to think, this was like in 2007, 2008. So the people were still believable. Like, people still put trust in other people. Like, if you told them something, people would still believe it. And if you're calling and you're talking like that, and I mean... we called a whole bunch of places. We called hotels pretending to be angry husbands and, like, is my wife staying there? Because I know we would make up these whole stories, dude.
We'd make up these whole stories. Yeah, you couldn't do that now. Especially with caller ID and stuff like that.
I think we told them, too, about when we would go to, the jewelry place, because we were bored, and we would go to the jewelry places. And we would pretend, like, because I looked like I was probably 3 or 4 years older than what I really was. And so I would tell them that I was looking to get engaged. And so we would just kind of string the salesman along, which was really messed up.
Yeah, it was so bad. And especially Chris and I became commissioned salesmen later on at Boot Corral. And yeah, we paid for it later, but yeah, bro, what did we do?
Our whole backstory was that I worked in the oil field, which is why I had so much money to spend, and I was in town.
Which made them perk up, which made their ears perk up, like, ooh, oil field money.
Yeah, and then I was in town looking for an engagement ring for my soon-to-be girlfriend, or soon-to-be wife, sorry, my girlfriend's soon-to-be wife. And so we would just, you know, kind of be like, oh, yeah, let me, and I don't know what it was. I think it was the fact that we would make up these stories. So, and we took it as so far as to go to the car dealership and test drive some cars. I think they probably knew that we were, you know, giving them the runaround they had to know.
Oh, man, you weren't on that one. I remember that was, so Fat Cat and I used to do that too. You weren't there the time that we got them all the way down to, like, numbers. We literally sat in the dude's office for 2 hours crunching numbers and, like, yeah, and walked away from a sale that we were, like, just a few. Yeah, it was really wrong.
Did you get him really bargaining down? Like, did he really cut off a lot?
Yes. So I'll never forget. Okay, so I'm not going to say the place, but it was actually a semi-affordable car. Like, I mean, I'm not talking. Sometimes we would drive brand new cars. Sometimes we would go, you know, do some crazy stuff, right? But this time, there was this Mazda Miata that we had seen from the road. And we used to call it free fun because you'd go in and have some fun. You'd go test drive a car, right? And you're not spending any money. And anyways, you're just spending somebody else's time. Anyways, so that was so bad. So we go to test drive this Miata, and, you know, we test drive it. Everything's good. So the original asking price was $10,000 for this Miata, and it was used, but it was very, very nice. And we got him worked down all the way to $6,500. And yeah, bro, and we kept telling him, listen, we need five. $5,000 is where we're at. And they're just like, no, we can't do five. They worked it all the way down to 65, and we still walked away because we needed it at $5,000. So messed up. So
y'all
messed up.
I could have almost bought that car, probably.
I'm telling you. I told Fat Cat, listen, man, if, like, when the dealer actually walked out of the room, I was halfway convinced. You know, I was like, listen, if he goes to five, if they come back and say five, like, I'll sign papers today. I had no credit, but they were willing to work with that.
That's wild, dude.
It probably would have been a stupid loan, probably. But same time, it's just like, if I would have had him worked down to five, yeah, I probably would have bought that car that day.
And the moral of the story is, kids, please, with waiters, salesmen, all that good stuff,
don't screw around with
their time.
Yeah.
Yes, it'll come back to haunt you.
Yeah, you'll have a profession later on where time is of the essence, or you need to make a sale, or you need that money or something, and somebody will come screw around with you too.
Well, it's been a good episode, man. We kind of did it a little bit different, just telling stories and having a fun time, man. But yeah, Last Week in Aviation, go check that out on YouTube. Just type in Last Week in Aviation for all your aviation news. If you want to find out what's going on in that world, I'm sure your people know a lot about what's going on, but it's always nice to, like, have an opinion and to listen to what other people are talking about in the world of whatever it is that you're interested in. So yeah, y'all go check that YouTube video out.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in the comments that are leaving some feedback. A lot of people don't like Boeing right now, and very interesting opinion before we leave too. A lot of people, and I'm going to spare you what's all going on with Boeing. Basically, they're in a lot of hot water because they aren't paying a lot of attention to safety and skimping on quality and safety. So a lot of people are saying that it's not just Boeing. That's the modern day corporation. Is everybody skimping on safety? It's just we haven't found out about it yet. And that's the way that our world works nowadays, that nobody's thinking about the consumer, just the bottom line and the dollar, and everything shifted to that. And nobody's really safe in the end.
Yeah, man. Well, cool deal. Well, tell them where to go find us.
Oh, man, that's at the Trash Can Network. Trash Can Network. So just at Trash Can Network over on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You know, we really appreciate you from wherever you're listening from and how are you listening to us. We got so many memes, and man, come check us out. We really appreciate you. Last Week in Aviation, Donut Box Podcast.
Yeah, well, it's time to take this out to the trash. I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.
Cue the starship.
We built this city. We built this city on a